So this week, the world tuned in to the funeral for late President Jimmy Carter. It was held at the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. The president and his wife, Rosalind, had planned every detail ahead of time, including the music and who offered the eulogies. I will say I felt for the staff and service members who were outside the church and endured the cold weather and really strong winds. They were trying to keep those flags tamed. I recommend watching the service as a whole or in sections. It was a wonderful example of how a state service can be done well. It was a testament to the president's spirit and how people can speak in ways that are thoughtful and eloquent and true, even when deeply divided. Now, one of the most beautiful moments of the service was when Trisha Yearwood and Garth Brooks performed the song Imagine by John Lennon. The Carters, really, I mean, they regarded themselves as pretty simple people at heart, and they loved this song. And the artists did it justice, and it rang true in so many ways. And then people reacted. There were these claims on social media. Oh gosh, social media these days. There were claims on social media, you know, kind of outrage of this was not fit for a church. This was not appropriate for a funeral. This was not appropriate for a Christian service. That it had an in-your-face political message. No, really? John Lennon had an in-your-face political message? Oh my gosh. The lyrics ponder, what if there was no greed, no countries, no ownership, no money, no religion, no heaven? The song calls for peace and for sharing all the world. What radical things to say in church, right? And it certainly brought forward the question about what's the role of music in our religious services, worship, Sunday service, the rites of passage, or much more. And the president's funeral is a really good example of this. It was traditional in so many ways. It was deep. It had wonderful depth of structure, of care, of preparation. And it was done with love. Was done with love at the center of service, of respect, of inclusion. And it was also contemporary and relevant. If people are still reacting like this to John Lennon's Imagine after all these, I don't know, decades, clearly he struck a chord, so to speak. And we still need it. And it communicated as a service. It communicated in ways with words and beyond words that which we hold dear and would convey into the future. Part of the legacy, part of why Trisha and Garth Brooks were asked, you know, were the performers, was because they had worked with President Carter. They'd been connected through Habitat for Humanity. That's partially why they were there in particular. So in this service today, what a great reason to think about music in worship, right? I'm using a few songs and hymns in this service to explore music, its power and its use, how it is part and parcel of our lives, especially in religious community. And I think one of the most wonderful ways that music is present is how it can express things that are just not only about words, that are about beyond words, which to me is a really good way to talk about, to engage with theology. I think if you only limit your theology to the actual texts, then it's not a terribly big theology. But I recognize I recognize I need to say a moment about how I also understand how music can be such a wonderful gift, and by and large it is. And in conveying the theology and conveying the priorities of a religious body of any kind. And it's complicated. That language, that spirit can be inclusive and welcoming and show possibility and hope when someone is at their deepest, most awful moment. But also the theology we show up that shows up in our music can also be exclusive. It's very informative as to how do you know if you belong to a particular group, how much you qualify to be part of, you know, God's community, if you will, in some language. How much do you want to be? It's like, it's a measure of how much you want to be part of the Spirit, how much you want to be connected with Jesus or God or so on and so forth. And recognize that simply music and what's in it, that alone can be a major component of religious trauma. So I want to just honor that. I hear you, if that's part of your experience, and I see that if that's true for you. Thank you for singing along when we sing together in that case. I also recognize, I'm going to be a little with the mirror here, self-conscious that sometimes the music, well, it doesn't lift the spirit. It can bring down the energy, even well-intended. And the struggle is real to get the music to feel good, to be, convey the spirit, to convey the moment. There is a significant difference between something that is majestic when slowly and grandly done, and something that's a dirge. Majestic, dirge, and unsingable. We try. So there's one of the hymns in our gray hymnal, One More Step. One more step. We will take one more step, which can be lovely. But sometimes when done with too slow or without spirit, it can feel like one more verse. We will sing one more verse, till every verse is worse than the one before. We'll sing one more verse. Oh, please save me. Whew. I know. I recognize we try. We try, right? There we go. There we go. This is a moment when we extend compassion to all who are trying to put service together. There we go. So the good and the challenging and the skill all come together in our services, in our worship, in Unitarian Universalist congregations in particular. One of the jokes that we sometimes tell amongst ourselves has a certain truth, that we can be lousy singers because we are always reading ahead to see if we agree with the lyrics. That's actually not wrong. And we love music. I know we love music. And I hope for moments of like that with Imagine and all of the music at the president's funeral. Okay, we're not going to scale up that quickly, I'm just saying. But it's a wonderful reminder of, oh, yes, yes. Because it helps us learn what is important, and it provides experience, not just talk and words, not only that. So in that spirit, I want to turn to one of our most known and notable hymns, Spirit of Life, created by Carolyn McDade. Some of our congregations sing it every Sunday. I'm just saying. In our case, we sing it when it seems like a really good idea, which is today. So I want you to rise in body of spirit. We'll listen once and we'll sing it once together.
Thank you.
Please be seated. One of the wonderful aspects of music is that it's how we tell our stories. Every year, in getting ready for Christmas, I am always amazed at how many ways people have used music, have found the way to tell the birth of Jesus and the political circumstances. Now, as scholarship tells us now, the story is pretty much created and not based on reality, but we still love it. And we keep telling the story because the world wants to hear about angels and possibility and new life that can overturn oppression, about the existence of power in the humblest of places, and a world full of magic and awe, along with sheep. Sheep. Why not? And how that story through music keeps allowing us to respond to heartbreak and our deep human needs. You know, people still write, you know, those Christmas carols weren't just written long ago and then they haven't been revised since. They keep being created and written. Unitarian minister Edmund Hamilton Sears wrote, "It came upon the midnight clear as he's watching a world, a nation in upheaval over war, and is invoking the hope of that peace at Christmas as he was seeking hope in a moment of deep conflict and death and loss." Now, sometimes there's also the story that goes along with the creation of the piece is just as important. It goes beyond the song itself. So the next piece of music I want to offer us for this moment is a video created 4 years ago this winter. It was in process 4 years ago. Remember that COVID thing? Yeah, that. 2020, 2021. And the moment was my first year with this congregation and how people were not in church and not able to be together. Worship was recorded ahead of time. So if you would, picture the spaciousness of this sanctuary. This is what, oh, you know, when I came into the congregation, I'm like, oh, baby, we're going to do great things in here. Spaciousness of this place. And how that was all condensed that year into a camera in front of the pulpit. And music recorded on video. Our wonderful pianist back then, Rosa Chang, was sending in her pieces from Taiwan. That's how wacky this was, right? And yet, in that moment, we were responding creatively and with hope. We were planning on the installation. It's the formal moment of commitment between a congregation and a minister at the start of their ministry together. That was coming up in March. And we chose the piece Life Calls Us On from the Reverend Jason Shelton, one of our Unitarian Universalist musicians and ministers. Our choir director at the time, Dave Breeden, made the arrangements of the music. Austin Locke worked the tech. Austin and I set up a computer in Fellowship Hall so the choir could record each of their pieces, one person at a time, which is why you have a gray-green background, is because it was in the corner in Fellowship Hall that was recorded. The choir members managed the tech and sang. They helped each other. It was great. And we had a paid consultant to take all the recordings and make it sound like a cohesive piece. This was a lot of work. We just did one piece, and we felt really good about getting one piece done. And it was a creative response motivated by love, desire, connection, a passion for the arts, a willingness to endure the technical challenges that made everything take 10 times longer. And that meant that the choir could sing at my installation in March 2021. It would not have happened otherwise. And we have a library of hymns from that time, of the recordings of that time, and we don't need them in the same way. And I'll just say, I wanted to come back to this piece because it's just such a work of love. Now, some of the people in it are no longer singing. Some have died. Some are no longer with us for other reasons. But it is a testament to the moment, and the song itself is lovely, and you have the lyrics in the order of service for it, and the story of the production is part of that. So let us hear Life Calls Us On. To celebrate and remember the good things we've done, right? Yeah. The last part I want to talk about from music is how it calls us forward, how it calls us into our larger purpose, how it calls us into liberation. I love that President Carter's choice of Imagine stirred some good trouble, as called for by the late John Lewis. one of the most powerful, kind of almost magical aspects of music and our services and our congregational life and our human experience is how it can lead us to reflect, to be energized, to be willing to transform our minds and our hearts that we might go forward and do good things. It's why our music includes, I've got peace like a river, right? Calls us forward and names our struggles. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, right? And our modern music that we include, such as Libri Broderick's, how could anyone ever tell you you were anything less than beautiful? Boy, that's a radical message right now, right? Right? That sung together, sung alone, sung together lifts our hearts, reminds us that there's more than what is bringing us down. And next weekend, we get to be doing some of that, I bet, some of that singing, some of that spirit as we go into the People's March, as we reflect in finding our place in the resistance, as we recall that call for love and justice from Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., as he responds to pieces such as Holly Near's, I am open. And I am willing, right? Or Emma's Revolution. We got to keep on moving forward. Keep on moving forward. Keep on moving forward. Never turning back. Never turning back. This gift of music that has found its way from our human being, from the complexity and the abundance of who we are as these creatures of this earth. It holds us, it fills us, it brings us peace, it inspires us, and it gets us moving. I hope you will remain with us after the service for our conversation about music in worship, because it is made possible because we connect and share and explore together, that we have brought your bit of interest and my bit of interest, that bit of interest, and so on. And we bring it together and to create its own harmony. This is also part of the work. So let us go forth and do this good work very musically together.